In this episode, we're talking about an anime-inspired RPG where words really hurt. It's Wonder Stars. This and more on Indie Game Arcade. Welcome back to Indie Game Arcade, a podcast that deep dives into the latest and greatest indie games. My name is Chris.
And I'm Joseph.
Joseph, what was your favorite anime from back in the day? Like, and I'm talking like way back in the day.
If we're going way back, then it would have been Trigun was my...
That's a good pick.
I think was my top. If not Trigun, then Berserk.
No, I knew you would say Berserk. Trigun is a very good... For whatever reason, I think it's because of those like AMVs that were like all over Napster at the time. I like the song Superman by Goldfinger is inexplicably woven into Trigun for me.
I mean, there's just so many great classic anime, or I say class, I guess they are classics now, but animes from the 2000s were just like pristine.
Probably Dragon Ball Z for me, like right at the beginning, and then Gundam Wing. I would say Gundam Wing was a really big one for me. Probably my favorite out of like the very first iteration of like Toonami. I got way too into Gundam Wing. This will be relevant in a moment, I promise. But before we get to that, I want to remind everyone we are doing a giveaway this week for a Steam key for Rogue Labyrinth. Again, I want to say a really big thank you to the dev team at T-Witch Games for reaching out, providing that to us to share with all of you. So, again, I announced on the last episode, all you have to do to be considered to win this Steam key is to tag us somewhere on social media with the hashtag roguelike. And that's it. That's all you have to do. It's so easy. We'll announce the winner on Saturday. We'll announce that over social media, like things like X and Blue Sky. And then we will reach out to the winner, as well. Just, you know, you don't have to like hope that you see the post. We will reach out to you if you want. So all you need is a Steam account and, a way for us to deliver that key to you in private, whether that is through DMs of some kind, email, whatever, just be ready,
be ready.
Hey, let's talk about... Let's talk about a game that is very, very steeped in anime. See? I told you it was related. We weren't just talking about anime because we're a bunch of weebs.
Game start!
So, Wonder Stars was released the day we're recording this, September 19th, developed by Paper Castle Games and published by a fellow traveler. Thank you so much to Jasmine over there for sending us the key. That was very, very kind of you. Retails for $24.99, currently on sale, so why not? Go pick that up. This is a turn-based JRPG with roguelite elements set to it, set in an 80s-era anime-style world. You see? You see why I was bringing up anime at the beginning? You get it. You play as Ringo, a 14-year-old raised by her martial arts master grandmother and dreams of winning the local martial arts tournament. When she gets embroiled into an intergalactic dispute when powerful folks from other planets arrive to take the map piece that's hidden in her cell phone charm. Yep. Wonder Stars is inspired by anime the developers grew up watching in the 90s in Venezuela, which is where they're from. So like they specifically named Dragon Ball Z, Cowboy Bebop, Sailor Moon, One Piece, and more. I can see influences from pretty much all of those playing this game. There's a very specific call out to Sailor Moon that I absolutely love, which is
I saw a tuxedo mask like.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, for sure.
Well, and there's this idea, too, that like if you are familiar with Sailor Moon, there's like that running joke that him in particular, tuxedo mask always like calls her meatball head, you know, as like a joke. So a lot of characters in this will refer to Ringo as Applehead because of like the way her hair is shaped and stuff. And it's red. And I mean, her head does kind of look like an apple.
It even like her cowl like thing looks like the apple stem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is great. So I got interested in this game solely based off the aesthetic. I think I brought this up as a game I was looking forward to twice over the last year on this podcast. And that was solely, that was before I even knew like the exact mechanics and how combat was going to work. But the combat is really interesting. It is word-based combat. So the central mechanic of this is basically you are combining words. So think about the words as almost like cards. So there's almost like a deck building sort of aspect to it in that way. So there's like three types of words. You got your action words, which are the things that you do, like punch, kick, block, or item, which allows you to use an item that you might have. Then you have your elemental words, which adds a status effect. So you got fire, water, air, earth, things like that. And then you have modifier words, fast, super, huge, swift, to modify how that action behaves. You only have like so many slots during combat to equip so many words per type. So like whenever you are like in combat and it's like your turn to act, you are essentially like dragging and dropping some of your equipped words, which like you can, let me think through this real quick. You can have like a big library of words, right? Like you are going to go through this game. You're going to collect a lot of words, but you can only equip so many that you can use in battle. So it like limits you in that way. So then when you are like fighting, you are then dragging and dropping those into your attack slot, of which let's say just for giggles and simplicity, you have six at the moment. So you can use like one action word and you would be able to use one elemental word, and then you would be able to fill the rest with modifier words. Now, some of those modifier words and stuff like that might take up multiple slots if they are like more powerful. For example, like there is one, I think, let's say consecutive is one. Where if you use consecutive, then you're going to do whatever like action you're going to do, like a punch or whatever. Or if you say throw fire in there, you're going to do that fire punch multiple times, you know, so it makes sense. Consecutive fire punch. So it's like you're kind of building this chain of things almost in the way of like an anime character would like yell it out loud or something, you know? Which is like fits the theme so well. And it is such an interesting way to go about combat and also make for a huge amount of experimentation, because like there are over 200 words that you can collect. So when you think about like with there being 200 words and how many slots there are that you can fill up, the amount of combinations is insane. It's almost limitless.
I do conceptually, like I love that idea. I think that's brilliant. I don't know that it's ever been done, at least in video game format before in this way. Absolutely fits the theme. It's something that like I can like even just like thinking about it, I can already imagine like how those things are being delivered in anime format of like, yeah, just shouting out your attack before you do it. That is like classic anime. And right? to gamify that is just genius. And it's like, how has no one done this before?
Exactly.
So I'm glad that someone finally did. It reminds me also of Epic Spell Wars, the card game.
Yeah.
Where you are combining different, you have your wizard and then your modifier and then your spell. Those three are attached, where it's like Sir Lutzor's Mysterious Power Vortex. And it's like three different cards, but you're chaining them all together. And they have like the visuals go together in such a way too. So I just love that like unique combination of things. And in that game, the Epic Spell Wars, it's a card game, but you're encouraged to actually say these out loud. If you're playing it right, yeah, you're going to say your spell out loud and with some gumption to it. So I just love that like that is actually a mechanic in this game.
Yeah, it's super neat. It's so fun. And there are like some limitations and stuff too that like kind of help keep you grounded and stuff. So like one of the things is, spirit is like one of the resources that limits how many words or how complex your attacks can be in a turn. So when I was talking before about how you have like, let's say six slots or something that you can slip your words into, That's because you have like, that's how much spirit you have available at the time. You can't like always throw giant combos and stuff like that. You have to manage spirit. And then on top of that, the words themselves also have cooldowns. So you have to kind of decide whether you want to use like simpler, you know, attacks or more powerful strikes based on like those cooldowns and stuff. So like if you know that creating, let's say, you know, when I was talking earlier about like consecutive fire punch or something like that, you know, that means you'll do like two fire punches or something, but maybe consecutive has like a 3-round cooldown. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do that every time. So there is a lot of give and take to it, which one, all of this adds way more strategy to the gameplay, which I absolutely love. And two, it makes it a lot more fair. So it's not like you can go in and just steamroll everything and do the same thing over again. Enemies will have elemental strengths and weaknesses both. So like they will always have like some type of damage that they specialize in and some sort of elemental weakness to them. Like really early on, you go up against like these crab guys that are pretty weak to fire. Fire is like the very first elemental word that you get starting out. So that makes sense. That's how you're kind of learning the ropes of everything. So if you find out the like the perfect weakness to like these, let's say this crab guy, Blue or Gray Joe, I think is one of the guys. And it's like a specific combo. It's like maybe fire jab or something. So that finding that weakness, using it against them, and there's nothing that's going to save that weakness. Like you're not going to remember it or have it like jotted down in like a menu or something. It's one of those things that you got to remember, right? Like any great JRPG. If you use that, it's going to give you a spirit point back. That so like that's great. Because again, like if you want to use an item or something, you also have to drag like the word item up into your slot. So let's say like you're low on health or something, but you're like, oh man, I can't afford to not damage this guy. If you know the weakness, you could do that, exploit that, get like one of those, just, you know, one spirit point redeemed because you use that weakness. So you only have one word that you can use. You throw item in there, you use item, you use that to eat something that heals you back up to full. So again, there's just so much like nuance, so many different things that you can do with this. And like even that, like there's so many other things that you can do to experiment with that. When you first start out, like you can only hold one extra spirit at a time. So like if it gets refunded, like you can't get more than just one after you spent like your initial amount. That's like one of those stats that I think you can raise like later on in the game. So there's like a lot more that you can do as you like level up and stuff. One of the other things I think is I really, really like, because it's thematic with the idea of an anime, like a shonen style anime where you are playing this character that wants to do well in like a martial arts tournament. And like, what are those characters about? Like you think of characters like Goku or Gohan, or, you know, we'll take a step further outside of the martial arts thing, like Luffy or something. They're always about honor, right? It's like a core part of like that style of anime is like having a code of honor of some kind. So that is also something that's really essential here too. So if you, instead of completely knocking out your enemy, you can get them like down to a certain threshold of health that they will kind of like, not all of them, but they will mostly, most of them will at some point kind of give up in a way. They'll like their animation pose will like change. They might even put a little flag up or something. If you don't attack them again, and instead you can then hit this little button that says peace out and you just leave, you could get something that's called a pep up. So it's like, oh, they're impressed with you for showing honor. These are like these equipable bonuses that one will give you some sort of modifier for your character. In addition, they will always almost come with like an extra word. sometimes it's like a word that you've already got. Sometimes it is a brand new word that you didn't have before, like wide, which is like one of the ones that I got. Wide lets you, if you throw that one in, you get to attack every mob on the screen instead of just, you know, focusing on one. One of the like things that's nice about getting more of the same word, so like two kicks or something like that. So like if kicks are powerful and do two damage or something, then like you can put both of those in kind of like, you know, equip both of them. And if one's on cooldown and you are going up against an enemy you know is weak to kick, while that one's on cooldown, you just use the other kick. So it's not bad to actually like choose something that gives you like multiple of the same word. So yeah, it's, there's so much to this game, man.
So it's run based also, I assume, since it's a roguelike or roguelite.
It's not exactly roguelike. It just has a few roguelike, roguelite elements to it, in that you are choosing paths. And yeah, there is some backtracking that you can do, but there are certain parts where you do have to choose like a certain path in some areas. And once you choose that path, that is like what you get, and get whatever stat that modifies your character, whether that's...
If you were to lose, would you start over?
No, you will not start completely over, but you will start... You will start from the last time your character had 100% HP. So,
oh, interesting.
Depending, that could be from the very beginning, depending on... You know how you've done, but yeah, basically so, that's
yeah, so it's roguelike in that sense. Okay. Yes.
So like that's why I said there's like some roguelite elements to it, but it is not a roguelite. They just kind of borrow a few things. But the main game is broken into like 10 chapters. Each chapter is between an hour and hour and a half. So like it is a big game, honestly. You're also meeting allies that join your party. And when they join you, you get access to more words that are associated with them. Like the first character that you're going to get is Wolf, who has Claw and Bleed. Those will do exactly what you think they are. You can get stackable bleed damage, which is great. If you equip his words to, you know, your little pool of attack words that you can have, then he will show up in the attack animation instead of your character. Like she will do all the other stuff, but every time you use like Claw, it'll be him that pops up and does the attack, which is really cool. I just love that variability. And I mean, you've been looking at like the trailers, you've been looking at the art. It's all top notch, man. It looks fantastic. The sound and music are just as good. But the character designs and animation are where it's at. That is the best. It really does look and feel like an anime that we would have gotten on Toonami in like 99 or 98 or something. And like playing this, like I wanted this to be an anime. Thankfully, there's a bunch of like little cutscenes and stuff, and thankfully they're not too long. But like seeing the cutscenes, and there's also like a lot of dialogue exchanges and stuff. But it makes you feel like you are tuned in to like watching an anime on Toonami from back in the day. And you are getting to not only experience it, but you are an active part of this really, really good anime series. And like that is exactly the kind of vibe I was hoping to get from this game. And it is 100% what they deliver. My only criticism, I would say, is that it, at least in the beginning, because I haven't gotten super, super far past like the first big battle, the first big boss, I would say, which I don't want to spoil what it is because it's kind of a fun surprise. But if you're familiar with anime and those kinds of stories, it won't, you'll kind of see it coming, and but you'll love it anyway, just because it works. It follows everything that you kind of hope it would. Anyway, you kind of like fight a lot of the same characters over again. And some of that is fine because some of that makes sense in a story kind of way. But there's some of the others that I just feel like I wish they would have added more variation in the things that you can run into and the mobs that you fight. But it does sort of make sense a little bit in that you are also establishing a lot of rivals and also, you know, trying to befriend some of those rivals too. So of course you're going to run to some of them multiple times. Either way, like I just felt like there could have been a little bit more variability there, especially with such a unique mechanic. Like I want to have more reason to keep experimenting and not know that, oh, it's this guy again. I know his weakness already. So like, you know, I got to do this wait for the cooldown, do it again. So,
yeah, that doesn't really, like, I don't know, it doesn't bother me. And it kind of makes sense with the story progression of it to be establishing these characters as ongoing rivals, and or just like people are going to keep showing up, maybe slightly more difficult because they've been training or whatever in between your fights or something. But I don't mind that. I honestly, like, they went a lot harder than they even needed to. I would have been sold on the visuals alone, even if this was like a straight JRPG and just a straight turn-based. But like, this looks so cool and it feels the part, so I'd be into it just already. The fact that they added that awesome like combat mechanic to it, and I love the very light rogue light elements of it in the way that you are progressing through the paths. That just like upsells it even more to me. If we didn't already have the key, I would definitely be buying it.
Plus, it's got a capybara guy with abs and a surfboard. I mean, what more do you need?
Yeah.
You sent me that picture and you're design, like, yeah, you're buying this. You, like,
yeah. The character design is just spot on. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It's a no-brainer. If you like anime, you basically get to play one. As a JRPG, I would say it's got to be one of the most interesting JRPGs I've ever seen. Almost endless possibilities. If you're an anime nerd, this is 100% the game that you've been waiting on.
I truly don't think this will be the last time that we see this sort of combat attempted in a game. Now that it's out in the ether, I think people are going to start trying to use it for in their own different ways, because this just feels like the start of what could become a trend based on how just cool and unique that idea is.
I 100% agree with that. I think you were dead on. I think this will definitely signal the start of something for sure.
Yeah, we're going to see some Wonder Star likes soon enough.
Some Wonder likes.
Yeah.
Power up!
Hey, if you're enjoying this episode so far, do us a favor, throw us a like, a follow, share the episode or the podcast with folks who love indie games so we can get more of these game recommendations out there and support indie game devs. We also have our YouTube channel at youtube.com/nerdsloth, where you can catch us playing more indie games or check out our top 5 and top 10 series for even more indie game recommendations, because we believe there's an indie game out there for everyone.
Steven, we need to tell people about Nice Games Club, our game development podcast.
Okay.
You know, the one where we talk programming and design, but also how games fit in our culture?
Yes, I've heard of it.
Mark, what else can we say?
How about how we
have more than 400 episodes in the archives? We've interviewed folks behind Monkey Island,
Baba Is You,
Opus Magnum,
and more.
If you say so.
But you two also make games, right?
Speak for yourself, Lydia, but also yes.
So we don't just talk about the industry, we also talk about the games we're making.
Yep, that's it.
Nice Games Club. Listen at nicegames.club or wherever you get your podcasts.
Combo!
Let's talk about some other indie games we've been playing this week. I promise I will be faster this time. I promise. Let me talk about Goblin Cleanup. So you've played Viscera Cleanup. You remember that one? And then they also had like the Santa's Rampage one back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So this game is very much a twist on that kind of formula. In Goblin Cleanup, you can either go solo or go co-op up to 4 players as goblins, cleaning up dungeons before the next wave of adventurers are set to come through. But it's not just like cleaning up because they are dungeons. There are traps and hazards everywhere, so you're also trying not to get killed yourself and add to the mess during the time limit that you're allotted. And one of my favorite parts of this when I was playing it is the tools that you have at your disposal while you are cleaning up. So like to clean up blood, you have like this pitchfork and you impale slimes on the end of it. And then that's your mop. And that is so funny to me. And once those slimes are full of blood and then they die of blood poisoning, you feed that and any body parts you find lying around to a mimic, like it, taking the form of, you know, one of the treasure chests and stuff, which you also need to carry around the dungeons as you clean. However, if you get too close to the front of the mimic, that's going to eat you too, which may have happened to me quite a few times, more than I would care to admit. There's lots of different environments with different stages to each one. It's super gory. It's very funny. I can only imagine the chaos of getting a group in there together. Full game isn't out just yet. This was the early access release, which came out on September 18th from Chrysalu Games. retails for $19.99, but there are some great bundles with other fantastic co-op games like Overcooked or Moving Out, or the next game I'm going to talk about real quick, which is Sushi Ben. So Sushi Ben is an interactive slice of life anime adventure with a cel-shaded graphics kind of style where you are trying to save a sushi bar in a tiny town from some cutthroat land sharks that have been buying up all the property and causing problems for the people that live there. And the big appeal really is the story plus tons of mini games in which, because it is, you know, revolves around a sushi bar, fishing is the really big aspect of the game. There's definitely a big fishing mini game. Looks absolutely gorgeous. It's super charming. Was like, has really good humor, and it's fully voice acted. And on that note, listen, Big Brain Studios, I will not hold it against you for not choosing me for either of the roles I auditioned for, so long as you put me in your next game. I'm holding you to that because you hurt me, oh, so deeply. So deeply. It released on September 17th, retails for $11.99. And the bundle together with Goblin Cleanup is $28.78. But on sale right now for $23.02, which is a pretty good price, if I do say so myself.
Goblin Cleanup looks like it's full of goblin waifus. So if if that's what you've ever wanted that, then this is the game for you.
You are the goblin waifu. I know. I think that's literally who you are playing.
I know, but like if you're doing it multiplayer, you can be around multiple goblin waifus. Oh, that's
true. That is true. Yeah, why wouldn't you want a goblin waifu though? Sounds good.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
So I wanted to throw out there just because we actually have a video of it is Card Burners.
Hey!
That, man. Okay, so Card Burners is an action, I guess, card game, board game-esque. The idea of it is you're basically playing, I don't really know what kind of card game to compare it to. I'm not familiar enough with like a lot of card games, but what you're doing is
it's like war,
facing off
I
against
guess?
A computer to start with. I guess like semi-war-esque,
yeah.
But you have different abilities to do like either damage to your enemy, heal you, or heal your enemy, damage you, or various other things. There's bombs. It's drawing these cards for you at the rate of, at least starting out, about 60 cards per minute or one card per second. So you're just like very quickly drawing cards. When you reach 10 or when you reach more than 10 cards, they start to burn, and they all have burn effects too. That are like, they can either be detrimental to you or heal you or do nothing. So you have to be keeping an eye on not only cards that you're using, but the cards that you're not using if you're stockpiling too fast. And in addition to that, the enemy can also add more cards to your hand. So force burn things off and add bombs into your hand. And if bombs burn, they will do like 10 damage to you. You only start out with like 99 health. So 10 damage is a significant amount. And it really adds up, especially if bombs just continue getting added to your hand. But you can do the same to the enemy as well. So it is a very fast, chaotic card game that I when I first started playing it, I was very, very, very in over my head. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to ever get this. Like, this is way too fast for me. But then once I got it, once I understood it or started understanding it, I was like, it just felt like I was in tune with something I had never really thought that I would be, because, you know, I'm not great at playing like really fast paced games like that usually, because like that's my brain just doesn't move that fast. I don't have great processing speed up there. So I didn't ever think I'd be decent enough at this to even play through the demo. But once I got really into it and started doing well, like it just feels real good. And you're keeping an eye on so many different things at once. You're multitasking in a way that I didn't even realize I could do, but it almost feels to me like a good brain training tool to myself to really help me, I don't know, to really help me like process things quicker if I just kept playing it. So I would use this not only as like a fun game to play, but also as a way to kind of like, I don't know, get my brain really, really running, because like is just so fast paced and so satisfying when you win. And once you really get into a groove of it and you're just like clicking, 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 you really start to see these cards. You see the visuals of them and you're like, I know exactly what this card is. I don't even have to like think about it. I can just like almost like go on to autopilot because I know exactly what this color of card is, what this is going to do if I click it or if I don't. And it just becomes like a second nature to you. And that kind of is, that's the reason I like to play like Souls-like games, is just because they're so challenging that like once I get into the groove, it's just a really satisfying outcome when you actually beat a boss or something like that. And this is the same thing, or the same feeling for me, where it's like that high challenge level makes it where it feels like victories are really earned. And I've only played the demo of it. I beat like all the characters in the demo, and we have a video of that up on our YouTube.
Yeah.
But also like now I really want to actually play through more of it. And there is like a versus mode too, which I think might be one of the selling points of it for a lot of people. Like, so you can play online against other people, and that's where it might really start to get competitive. And there will be like a hopefully pretty great like multiplayer scene to it. I'm sure like that's where I would just get absolutely trounced. Like I would be crushed against people who are like way better at these types of games. So I'll probably just keep playing the computer for now, just because I know that I can I can handle that. But if you are that kind of person and you do like those like highly competitive multiplayer games, I think this would be right up your alley too.
Yeah, man, it was nuts watching you play it and then going up against Dr. Max. That
Dr.
guy.
Max sucks, because his whole thing is like he just heals a lot. And yeah, it is so hard to like out damage his healing and also like throwing stuff back at you. That I just had to really prioritize like doing double damage. You can also set these little cards up on the side that it's like, okay, now every attack I do does, you know, double damage. But the counter to that is like, if I'm clicking too fast and I use a card that hurts me instead of him, then it's double damage to myself too. So it's like another risk reward system. Or it's like, if my health is so low that I need to prioritize heals, and I have to like find the double healing one instead and throw that out there just so I can survive. There's a lot going on. But nuts. Once you get into it, I promise you, like, it is so fun.
Yeah, man, it was very fun to watch. And you do go a little bit crazy playing the game. And that was fun for me to see.
It's just like sometimes I would just get crushed immediately. But then, you know, once you beat them, it's just like, OK, it was definitely worth it. Now I see what I did wrong, but I got it this time.
Love it.
The other game that I played that I think would be of great interest to people is Mega Bonk.
Oh,
if you imagine.
Dude, I was going to bring this up to you because I was like, oh, you're going to love this. You beat me to it.
Nice. Well, this is a combo of, if you think about Vampire Survivors and Risk of Rain 2 specifically, because of the like 3D aspect of it and the way that you are collecting different power-ups, leveling those power-ups to where you're trying to just make like a broken build, essentially. It's that kind of like crazy action roguelike, but it's also got a really fun sense of humor to it. Your starting character is just a fox guy, but then you can unlock like a monkey with sunglasses. You can unlock a skateboarding skeleton.
Yeah.
Or just like all these weird, like funny characters. But the actual like combat or like the gameplay mechanic to it is just really fun. And it seems challenging enough to where it's like, okay, like it doesn't feel like I can just completely like crush my way through this entire thing or beat the game on my first try kind of deal. But it also feels like if you want to prioritize just like a broken build or try to find something, RNG is pretty friendly to you. It feels like, at least in the early stages of it, because like I was this knight character and he starts out with just like a basic sword slash in front of him. But I made that sword slash so gigantic because of all the like increased size of my attacks that I picked up, that it was like destroying almost like everything in front of me in just single hits. And I tore through the boss pretty quick. Once you beat the boss, death doesn't come at you, but once the time runs out, it like does this final wave. And I don't know if the final wave is infinite. It probably is, just to try to finally kill you off. but like enemies will start coming at you faster and faster and faster and faster, and they are just stronger. I was able to hold my own in there for at least like 2 to 3 minutes before they finally killed me off, just even after beating the boss, just because my sword was so gigantic, or the sword swing was so gigantic at that point that I had no fear of anything touching me. The enemies just became so fast at a certain point, it just kind of ran through between the slashes and killed me. But it was like, okay, cool. But that also is exciting because it's like, I wonder if you get stuff for like surviving for like, you know, 5 minutes or whatever, in the final, or, you know, in the last wave kind of deal, even after you beat the boss. So it was just like, I only played probably like, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour of it, but man, it was just so fun, so funny. And I'm excited to see like what all this game has to offer. Like even just playing the demo of it that I played, it was something that I would continue playing as just a demo to unlock. I think you can only unlock like 5 or so characters in the demo. And there are maybe 20 total in the full release. So crazy. Yeah, there's a lot of variety here. One of them is literally like just a big Chad. Like he's just a big, strong dude who's flexing, and those are his attacks.
Just a dude walking around with no shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got a great sense of humor, but it also feels like the gameplay mechanics are pretty strong. And as far as like this type of game goes, again, Vampire Survivors mixed with Risk of Rain 2 because it is 3D. And you were just kind of bouncing around this level trying to survive and had a lot of fun with it. I'm definitely going to play more of this one.
Yeah, it's so cool. Basically a 3D horde survivor that you can platform in as well, which is crazy. Yeah, I was really excited about this too. I can't believe you beat me to it because I was ready to bring this up to you thinking I was going to introduce your new favorite game. Overwhelmingly positive reviews so far, released on September 18th.
900 something.
Yeah. So, solo dev,
very, very worth it.
Yeah. Definitely check this one out. Like I'm sure we're probably going to be playing more of this and talking about it some more as, you know, some other juncture.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Because, even within the level, there are like not missions, but I don't know what you would call them, but there's like stations you can go and like, it's one of those where if you stand by it for a little while, like it'll start to like charge up the thing. And then if you can survive like within that bubble, then it will give you like some kind of new skill power up or something. And so I like that it incentivizes you to explore around this level. And it's not like completely obtuse. There is you do have a compass that shows you like what is around you. So you can kind of like gear yourself to at least go in certain directions instead of just like wildly wandering around. So I don't know, like it all together just works really well for me and was just super satisfying. So I could see this even just being a game that I could just jump into and play around of and be satisfied and move on to something else. Like it doesn't feel like I have to heavily commit to it because of its fun sort of aesthetic, but it also feels like if I wanted to, there's a lot of depth to it.
Final round.
Let's talk about some upcoming indie games we're excited about. I'm going to mention 3 really fast ones. These are games that I saw on the 6-1 Indie Showcase that aired last week. All of these are to be announced, so I don't have any dates for them yet. One of them in particular, I'm very excited to tell you about. I'm going to save it for the end, so you got to wait, Joseph. The first one I'm going to mention is Gloomy Juncture. This is a gritty noir mystery game about a janitor who gets sucked into a murder mystery, but all done in this 3D, like decaying papercraft kind of style that makes it all look like really creepy and unsettling. Just this really grimy, dark looking world where everything is constructed out of, you know, what looks like handcrafted materials that are drawn on, like the faces and everything are drawn in. It's such an interesting aesthetic that really stuck out to me. So I really wanted to check that out. The next one I want to mention is a DLC for another game. This is Lil Gator Game in the Dark. It is a huge DLC for the original game, Lil Gator Game, which is an adorable game. It's a little whimsical game about this little gator kid who just dreams of being an adventurer like Link from Legend of Zelda. And he goes on like a little pretend adventure around his island. This DLC doubles the amount of content for the game and brings you underground into a mineshaft for even more wholesome adventures. Lastly, the one that I wanted to bring up to you because I think you will like this and you should probably look it up is Nanooka, Secret of the Shattering Moon. This is a super sleek pixel art style platformer with beat 'em up style fighting mechanics where you're gathering allies to gain access to new movesets. But like the huge appeal on this to me, and what I thought, like, one, you like platformers like this, but the big thing was the animation on here with the characters, especially the bosses, is absolutely gorgeous. This is one of the games that stuck out to me the most out of everything from 6-1 Indie. There's a lot of other really good ones too, but I was like, man, this is definitely one for the wish list.
Yeah, looking at it, the bosses are done in like kind of a unique style. I would have compared it to what is it, Shantae?
Oh yeah, yep, the Shantae series.
Yeah, the Genie games. Yeah, like, but then I see the bosses and they're more like, they're animated in a different way than the regular, like, the rest of the 2D pixels are. Like, these are almost like Roger Rabbited onto it. Like, they look more cartoon. The bosses look more cartoonish than the backgrounds or the actual characters do, which is really interesting visually to look at them. Like, they're animated super fluidly too. I just thought that was a really interesting choice to have that much of a style change for the bosses, because they're like these large figures on the screen,
yeah,
too, which
huge.
Is what was making me think of Shantae. But yeah, just the way the bosses look, the platforming itself looks really fun, though. It's something I would definitely get into. It looks like it's a to be announced, so yep. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's on my wish list now, so I'll see. One that I wanted to bring up, well, two actually, because there's one where it's like, I know you're going to be interested in it, and the other one that's like, I also know you're going to be interested in it. So I guess there's two that I know you're going to like. Okay, so the first one I want to bring up is called Karimara. Beneath the Forlorn Limbs. This is a like kind of disturbing horror like game, but it looks a lot like Inscription in that it is a card game, but there's like a creepiness to it, and it's just kind of got kind of a weird
feel to it. Yeah.
Like, I thought it was just like a kind of walking sim thing at first when I like was looking at it, but it is touting itself as a card game first, so I guess it is like a card game adventure in the same way that Inscription is. This one, it doesn't look like you're confined to just a single room. It looks like you're out in the actual world, but it is like a really dark, like grim kind of like aesthetic and a unique art style that looks really interesting.
Yeah.
It comes out on October 6th, and this is my first time hearing about it is when I just ran across it today. So I just wanted to bring that up because Inkshade was the other Inscription, like, where I'm like, this, it started out really great, and then it fell flat for me towards the end. This one hopefully can kind of redeem that. So we'll see if this is an Inscription like that's kind of worth diving more into, but it looks really good.
I love how creepy this is. Oh man, I'm so in.
Yeah.
Wishlisted.
And then the other one, for a way different reason, but also a card game, is called Battle Suit Aces.
Oh.
This I know you'll like because it is a anime type card game, since we're on the anime kind of topic today.
Yeah, that's kind of the theme of the episode.
And this one specifically is more like mech based, so very Gundam-esque, but it's a card game instead of a, like, what you're usually seeing as a, you know, a mech battle game. This one's a card battler. I don't know if it's a roguelike or not, or if it's just like an actual straight through story, but it looks like the card game is the core mechanic of it. And that just looks really, I love the graphics of it. I'm sure the card game itself will be really interesting to dive into. And it just looks cool. I don't know a whole lot about it, but it looks like something that would be right up your alley.
Oh, these are the people that made Battle Chef Brigade, which is, I never got to play it, but that game looked really, really interesting to me too.
I didn't either, but I have seen that game, and that visually, that game looks amazing.
Yeah, and I can definitely tell, like, looking at the visuals of this game, man. Yeah, they definitely have nailed that very clean anime kind of aesthetic to it. Yeah, this looks good. This is October 7th. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
fine.
Early October wishlist is, you know, I mean, September already. Because we didn't even mention Hades 2's full release. I didn't know even how to pluralize
say it again?
That. Hades 2 has its 1.0 coming out.
Yeah.
And that's like this week. I think it's the 25th or something of September. Right. So that's going to take up a huge amount of my time, I'm sure. But so end of September, moving into October, indie games are just like killing it. And I'm just, I love where we're at right now.
It's been one of the best years for gaming, I think. It was this year.
Best and worst for my wallet. Yeah. Oh God, Absalom is coming exactly. out too. And Absalom is one that I played in early Steam Next Fest. The last one, it was awesome. So that one's coming out on October 9th. Man. Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm going to be playing a lot of games in October.
That's what I've been looking forward to trying out too, is Absalom. I never got a chance to try it. So yeah, that's... Oh,
it was so good.
Oh man, this has been such a good year, and it's just going to keep getting better. I can tell. I got a feeling.
Game over.
Hey, if you had a good time listening to this episode, except for that last part where I sang, stick around for the bumper to learn how you can help support the show and all the things we do here at Nerd Sloth Creative. You can also check the show notes for our link tree, which will take you to our social media, Discord, merch store, and tons of other cool stuff. Get in touch with us, let us know what indie games you're playing, and help us elevate these games so we can help support indie game devs. And don't forget about the giveaway for Rogue Labyrinth. Tag us in social media with the hashtag roguelike. We're going to be announcing that winner on Saturday, September 27th. So make sure you do it and don't miss out on your chance. But that's game over for us. My name's Chris.
I'm Joseph.
And we'll continue on the next episode.
Continue.
Indie Game Arcade is recorded and produced by Nerd Sloth Creative. If you're looking for more gaming content, head over to youtube.com/nerdsloth for indie game let's plays and recommendations. If you'd like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/nerdsloth, where you can select a pledge and receive access to hundreds of hours of bonus content from everything at Nerd Sloth Creative. If you're an indie game developer and would like us to review your game or explore other opportunities, send an email to nerdslothcreative@gmail.com with the subject line Indie Game Arcade. Thanks for listening, and keep supporting indie game devs.